As I read this, think about our struggle, brethren, in terms of a congregation working against the forces of darkness. Do we aid each other? Are we willing to fight to the death against these enemies of darkness? And are we willing to do it with one another, looking, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of our strength? Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule. You know, he wasn't one to mince words. He didn't wait for the diplomatic word to use. He called it what it was, the odious apparatus of Nazi rule. We shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight in the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until in Yahweh's good time, and of course he used the other term, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old. So even if he thought, even if the island itself were overrun and brought to misery, those on the outskirts would still come to their aid, and he was that confident that good would prevail over evil, brethren. And that was a speech made on June 4th, 1940, before the House of Commons. And in yet another speech at a school just a little over a year later, on October 29th, 1941, he delivered these words, and again, it's just a portion of them. You cannot tell from appearances how things will go. Sometimes imagination makes things out far worse than they are. Yet without imagination, not much can be done. Those people who are imaginative see many more dangers than perhaps exist, certainly many more than will happen. But then they must also pray to be given that extra courage to carry this far-reaching imagination. But for everyone, surely what we have gone through in this period, I am addressing myself to the school, surely from this period of 10 months, this is the lesson. Never give in. Never give in. Never. 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 Never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. And it sounds like what we read in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul, in terms of the things that could never take us away from Yahweh. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And let me tell you, that was an overwhelming enemy. But he said, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might. It might seem that they're overwhelming, but there's more to it than meets the eye. We stood all alone a year ago, and to many countries it seemed that our account was closed. We were finished. All this tradition of ours, all our songs, our school history, this part of the history of this country were gone and finished and liquidated. They wrote them off. Very different is the mood today. Britain, other nations thought, had drawn a sponge across her slate. But instead, our country stood in the gap. There was no flinching and no thought of giving in. And by what seemed almost a miracle to those outside these islands, though we ourselves never doubted it, we now find ourselves in a position where I say that we can be sure that we have only to persevere to conquer. Great words. But only words, brethren? Oh, that's just a rah-rah speech. Was it? This is the man who lived it. I dare anyone to challenge the words that he says. That he said at that time. And this is a man who lived those words. And a couple of months after he said that, the United States joined, and the rest is history. But if it had not been for the British nation holding on as long as they did, who knows where the tide would have turned in that war. So think about these things. Prime Minister Churchill obviously was a man of principle who was not perfect, yet he knew evil when he saw it. And he wasn't afraid to call it that. And he was determined that good would prevail over evil in the end. And so it did. Now let's bring it into our realm, brethren, once again. What about us? Do we also recognize evil where we see it? Or have we become so desensitized in our day that we no longer see where it exists, much less are willing to do anything about it? In this, we can never become like so many in the world today, like what you find over in 1 Timothy chapter 4.